Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Edgar Cayce has been called the sleeping prophet, the father of holistic medicine, and the most documented psychic of the 20th century. For more than 40 years of his adult life, Cayce gave psychic readings to thousands of seekers in an unconscious state, diagnosing illnesses and relieving lives lived in past times and prophecies yet to come. But who exactly was Edgar Cayce? He was born in Hopkinsville, Kentucky in 1877, and his psychic abilities began early in his childhood. He was able to speak and talk to his late grandfather's spirit, for example. And he often, as many kids do, played with imaginary friends. Later on in life, he got his nickname, the Sleeping Prophet, because he would go into a sleep-like trance. He would lay down. He started doing this in school, more accurately, at home with homework. He was kind of a struggling student, as it was reported, and his father would help him with his homework. And Edgar noticed that every time he took a nap and then woke back up, he seemed to absorb the information much better. And they've been doing scientific research on this, where people study something for a while and then they take a little nap and then return to it. Of course, we all know it's great to get that little break and clear our brains. But how is this in relation to prophecy, or divination, or seeing into the future, or seeing what people have to work on, or diagnosing an illness? We'll be pulling from a few sources. One of them will be the Edgar Cayce Companion, as well as some other resources. We'll be discussing the prophet Edgar Cayce when we return right here on Main Street Universe. Join us in our circle. Welcome back. This is Main Street Universe. I'm your host, Daniel Michael. Associate producer Janice R. White could not make it this evening. She'll be off for a few weeks taking care of some family business. So we send our prayers her way to associate producer Janice R. White and to her family. So before we get to tonight's topic, which is the prophet Edgar Cayce, maybe the most documented medium of all time, there have been others. In fact, Darren was discussing Edward Kelly and John Dee this last Sunday, and this is a more modern person, someone of a modest education, and someone who didn't profit much from the prophecies and from the work that he did with people. In fact, they said he died relatively penniless. But before we get to that, let's remind you that Main Street Universe is a network of six shows. This one, Main Street Universe, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Normally, right now, we're at 9. We're changing back to 7 starting next week. myself and associate producer Janice R. White, and sometimes Brett Hillman. Thursdays, we have Uatau with your hostess, Miss Queen Mother Imaku. She's a comedic priestess, reminding everyone that Egypt is, in fact, in Africa. Original language prayer, she does comedic yoga and many more things, as well as being a musician. So 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Queen Mother Imaku, our one afternoon show, our one daytime show. Then in the early evening, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Kevin Baird with the show Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin is the creator of the Horizon Oracle cards. Kevin is an artist, and he can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. Later that evening, midnight, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your hostess, Jessie Ann Nichols-Jores, and Jessie is the author of 4 books, You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook, and the one before that, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook. Check it out. She has some great guests. They talk about all different things. Midnight. The show's called Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time was the old time, and now he is on at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Darren Boucare. Darren is a reader at Murray Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. He does palmistry and tarot. He discusses spiritual topics. People can call in for a reading. So join us at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time with Spiritual Insight. Your host, Darren Boucare. Then Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Randy Goldberg with his show, Science of Light. And Randy is a Vedic astrologer, as well discussing Jungian archetypes, the importance of myth, and all sorts of different things. He also is a Western astrologer. Randy Goldberg, Science of Light, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, recently voted as one of Blog Talk Radio's top 5 spirituality shows, in fact, in their newsletter. Tuesday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have your hostess, Susan Weed, with Green Magic and Green Medicine. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, as Susan likes to say. She discusses women's health issues, herbal medicine, psychology of healing, and other things as well. All issues of nature and healing. We just got done doing a series about the helpfulness of bees and the things that they offer humans and the planet. Next week we'll be discussing stinging nettle. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. And right after this little bit, we will come back and discuss the Sleeping Prophet, Mr. Edward Casey.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
right, everyone. Welcome back to Main Street Universe. Tonight our discussion is on Edgar Cayce. I'm not going to talk a whole lot necessarily about him. What I mean by that is I'm going to pull from a few resources here and discuss some of his prophecies, some of his work he did with clients, people that would just come to him. And again, folks, this is not Sylvia Brown. He did not make big money from doing this. And if he did at any one time, he didn't have it when he died. I'm going to start with something interesting here. I'm just going to sort of flip. And if you're familiar with the concept of automatic writing, you just start sort of writing things in a trance. I knew a girl that claimed to be able to do this at one point in her life, and used to occasionally write me a letter in that state. Here, someone is interviewing Edgar Cayce, and they ask, "Querent, please tell me how I may develop automatic handwriting. A, by practice." A being answer, by the way, folks. I'll say Edgar next time. "Sit alone with a pencil and paper and let that guide. That may be salt or may come in direct. It will come. Anyone may do this. But is it better? Is it the better way? It may oft be questioned." So I think he's answering it, saying, well, we all have this potential, have this ability. Is it necessarily what we should be doing? I'll continue on this line of thought. The querent: "What is the source of automatic writing I have received? Should I continue to develop this?" Edgar Cayce answers, again in a trance, the sleep-like trance: "Those influences that are about thee are good. But rather, ever let that which thou would gain through thy writing be inspired by the best in self as magnified through the Christ. Then any entity or spirit or soul, while they seek for expression ever, they be seekers as thyself. Be thou led by that which comes from thine own soul, which thou meetest in the temple of the body, thy God in thee. And if he uses other influences, he will direct the same." Very interesting. Cayce considered himself to be a devout Christian, but there's definitely fuel for New Age thought and other sorts of esoteric and metaphysical thought within his prophecies, within his answers, visions. Another querent: "Should I develop this skill? Should I develop automatic handwriting?" Edgar Cayce, in a trance, says, "We would not advise it. Too easily it is misleading, especially when there are so many flashes about. Rather, use the intuitive force." It's interesting to note that the answers often given by Cayce are specific to the individual. There are some times where the individual will ask him something like, "Should I drink?" And he would say, "For this entity, it's okay to drink a certain amount." For other people, he would say, "No, this entity should stay away from this." So sometimes these answers would be meant very specifically for the person asking, and not always a broad prophecy for everyone. This is sometimes a subject, a debate on some of the things that were recorded from his sessions. Let's go to another one. That's a little bit. I'm just going to flip. Okay. On a similar path, this one was intuition. Question. Give detailed directions for developing the intuitive sense. Edgar Cayce's answer. Trust more and more upon that which may be from within. Or this is a very common but very definite manner to develop. On any question that arises, ask the mental self, get the answer, yes or no. Rest on that. Do not act immediately. If you would develop the intuitive influences, then in meditation or prayer, when looking within, ask, is this yes or no? The answer is intuitive development. Intuitive forces are developed more by the introspective activities of conscious mind. Hence the ability of those of any cult or any group of people who by constant introspection through entering into the silence are able to bring to the surface the activities of the entity as a whole. Hence, they are all sages, lamas, or such. These, when they are made to be what is commonly termed practical, yet remaining spiritual in aspect, that is, sticking to the truth, they become masters. Now, the basis of introspection, which is in that term Christian religion prayer, if you will, while that termed in many cult as introspection, meditation, mysticism, are called influences brought in. They are one and the same in their essence, but no, they are all of one source. And that was his other answer on that. That one was kind of deep. Another answer he gave for the question, how do I develop intuition or psychic ability, some might say. Anyone with a great imagination, of course, is intuitive, was one of Edgar Cayce's answers. Another one was, the entity is one very intuitive, easily separating self from itself, which so many or and so few may do, or, as it were, the ability to stand aside and watch self pass by. So, a bit about separation of ego, common in many practices, meditative practices, esoteric metaphysical practices. Let's go. I will just kind of flip again. Now, here's a question. And these are straight from recorded prophecies of Edgar Cayce, or works with clients. Question, is it more difficult to visualize things than to feel them? Cayce's answer in a trance. More difficult to visualize than feel, but they become one and a part of the same, as felt than visualized. See? In the activities of the mind of man, visualization is a portion of the material experience. No matter when, in the present experience, or a combination, a correlation of many experiences. While that felt is the sum total of all experiences, correlated with the superconscious, or the life itself. Provided the purport, or the individual, is in keeping with the purport of life or truth, see, then we find when one, as the body here, my servant, visualizes this, the sum of the experience, then felt the sum of not only experience, but of the divine. Hence, as has oft been said, those that would guide the body mentally, physically, and spiritually are above the normal or ordinary or the regular or the even higher forces in cosmic influence, hence harder to visualize until felt. When felt, the visualization is a portion of the activity set out. Basically, in that description, Edgar is talking about the importance of emotion in your visualizations, whatever they be. Question, still on the topic of visualization. To bring a desired thing or condition into manifestation, is it advisable to visualize it by making a picture, or just to hold to the idea in prayer and let God produce it in his own way without making a pattern? Edgar Cayce's answer. The pattern is given thee in the mount. The mount is within thine inner self. To visualize by picturizing is to become idol worshiper. Is this pleasing with thy conception of the God that has given? Have no other gods before me, Exodus 20:13. The God in self, the God of the universe, then meets thee in the inner self. Be patient and leave it with him. He knoweth what thou hast need before you ask. Visualizing is telling him how it must look when you have received it. Is that thy conception of an all-wise, all-merciful creator? Now here are some questions he answers about the projecting of thoughts. The querent, the person asking the question, says, how may I project a counterpart of my conscious awareness to any given place desired and comprehend or even take part in events there? Edgar Cayce, again in a trance, doing his thing, answers, read what we have just been given. This is an explanation of how, for it takes first spirit and mind form, and may be aware of the elements in space, for time and space are the elements of man's own concept of the infinite, and are not realities as would be any bodily element in the earth, as a tree, a rose, a bird, an animal, as even a fellow being. Yet, just as a body may in its own material mind visualize, draw a concept of an incident that has happened in time, so may the body in spirit and in spiritual mind project itself. Be conscious of elements. Be conscious of form. By and through spirit mind as pattern in a conscious mind. Mind then becomes as a stream with its upper and lower stratum, with that which moves swiftly and that which is arresting upon either spirit or physical being. These come then as flashes to a conscious mind. They may be gradually sustained just as mind may be projected. Here we will have an illustration. In a camp near here, near this particular spot, a place you occupy, there has been a gift taken by someone else. There will be a projection of the thought, this must be returned. And it will be, for here we have the parties to this physical condition, existing right and wrong, good and bad, spirit, mind, body, they are parts of this happening, and it is now being returned. Here's another question about thought projection. The querent says, in the physical plane, do the thoughts of another person affect a person mentally and physically? This is a shorter answer. Edgar Cayce says, depending upon the development of the individual to whom the thought may be directed. Individuals of this plane will and are developing this thought transference as the senses were and are developed. So it depends on their level of development and skill, I guess, is what he's saying. And I see we have a caller. I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic on. And welcome, Kevin.
Hello, how are you?
It's psychic medium Ian Baird, the co-founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Yes.
As well as having plenty of other things going on, and he can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. Check out some of his artwork, amongst other things that he does, as well as being the creator of the Horizon Circle. So how was your evening?
It's been good, and you were talking about Edgar Cayce, and he's pulling his content from his divine source, yes?
Yes. And...
and
what
was, how,
go ahead.
How did the dialogue go between him and the Aquarian?
Well, he was basically, in this one, he was talking about thought projection, and he was saying it depends on the develop, because they were saying, do thoughts have another effect on a person, on someone else, physically or mentally, meaning can you like sort of mind control, or can it harm them physically, or some, or maybe even positive? And his answer was, depending on the development of the individual, depending on the development of the one sending it, and, of course, maybe on the one who's the potential recipient.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that he started, and still was, I think he always considered himself to be a very devout Christian, but definitely in a lot of his visions and working with the people that visited him, his clients, he definitely speaks about very heavy metaphysical things, and more than once says, but they all come from the same source anyway, so you can call it what you want. One of the earlier ones I read said that. They said you can call it the occult, you can call it God, it's the same source. And he'll kind of go back and forth sometimes, but I think it was such a heavy influence of the Christianity, it causes him to go back and forth. There's something still deeply entrenched in there, so he will mention Jesus.
Well, that's heavy programming. You know, Christian doctrine is, you know, that kind of programming sort of like fingers itself, roots itself deep into the consciousness of, you know, an ordinary human being who doesn't really have a grasp on the spiritual realm. They know they need to, so therefore they submit.
It's an interesting way to look at spirituality in the way that, and I'm trying to say this and I'm being nice here, Christianity is, you've said it before, it's really good for entry-level spirituality because it's like, okay, you show up Sunday, you commit and say, okay, I accept this, I'm saved. And yes, there's always going to be more study, and there always can be, but there is a difference between that and some of the other ones which have lifelong, these disciplines and all this stuff you learn when you're, say, an occultist of some sort or a metaphysical practitioner. You're always learning and developing these skills that many of the Christians think you shouldn't even be developing in the first place. And it's for people, the other side of it, whether you want to call it pagan or people that just call themselves New Age or metaphysical or spiritual science or whatever terms people are comfortable with, it's a constant learning. It's a constant development. And even when you're done with the book learning, which you never are, then it's the internal learning. And that's what the whole thing's about. It's about progression.
Well, the God thing, I look at God really as an acronym that really defined as group-oriented devotion. We're coming together. We agree to believe and have faith in the same way, group-oriented devotion. And it works for people who are codependent or need validation from other people who are experiencing the same things that they are.
And I wouldn't go as far as to say just always validation, but I know what you mean. sometimes people just want to get together with like-minded people, right? Because there's pagans that are very devoted and more religious. And then there's ones that are independent.
And like-minded in the same caliber.
Right.
If I can use that.
Yeah. Because there's people of all different paths, even like renegade kind of paths, that they still like to go gather with people that are have similar ways of viewing spirituality. And then you have people that are a lot more independent. Some people aren't comfortable gathering at all. You know, some people are completely solitary about everything and prefer not to to publicly discuss or gather in anything that even looks remotely like the R word, religion, which has its...
Well, look at it, you know, compared to, okay, golfers hang on the golf course and bikers hang in the biker bar. You won't find a biker on the golf course and you won't find a golfer in a biker bar.
I guess most of the time.
There's also that, like, gray area, I guess.
Yeah. And here's something I thought you might find interesting, going to the next portion of this. One thing that some people may not know about Edgar Cayce, he was someone, unlike some of these big-time sort of celebrity psychics like John Edwards and Sylvia Brown, he was not wealthy in that way, and he didn't make big money, but he took in a lot of clients. There's a lot of recorded visions and prophecies from Edgar, and a lot of them were medical diagnoses, and with some interesting information that's coming out now that, you know, he knew then. One I'd like to get to, though, is even something else that some people might think is even stranger than that, and that is his mentioning in his visions of different star systems and on life on other planets. Now, right here, I'll start with this one. It has a brief introduction. It's not long at all, and it's actually one of his visions right here. It says, "No two solar systems have the same awareness, neither are they parallel. They are centers through which those of one solar system may pass to another." It's a very odd one, kind of a random one. So then after that, the querent, the person asking the question, says, "It was given through this source that the entity Edgar Cayce went to the system of Arcturus." I think this is somebody that knew him. "And then returned to Earth. Does this indicate a usual or an unusual step in your soul's evolution?" What they're asking is, as the soul evolves and reincarnates, does it go to other planets, is what they're saying in short, to clarify. Edgar Cayce, the answer, as indicated or has been indicated in other sources besides this one, as respecting this very problem, Arcturus is that which may be called the center of this universe, of the one that they know of this far, through which individuals pass, and at which period there comes the choice of the individual as to whether to return to complete there, that is, in this planetary system, our sun, our earth, and its planetary system, or to pass on to others. This was an unusual step, and yet still a usual one. Meaning there are choices. He's saying we kind of get like a choice in the transition. We can actually choose to progress, what I got from that, in Arcturus, if we're advanced enough in our progression. Or we can simply choose to go somewhere else or back to Earth. So he was saying it's actually quite common and normal to be offered, if you have the proper development. I think the impression was, if you're not advanced enough, then maybe you can't go and advance in Arcturus, which he considered a very highly evolved place. But you get some other choices to maybe work on some stuff. through your next life, or you can just choose to come back to Earth. So I thought that was kind of interesting. He was letting people know there was sort of options, and that you make a choice when in that transition place of going, what the heck, I'll go back to Earth and see, try to work it out again. He mentions Arcturus many times in these passages. Here's another one, I think responding to the same question, the person is asking about the nature of Arcturus. So, as long as an entity is within the confines of termed the Earth's and the suns of the Earth's solar system, the development are within the sojourns of the entity from sphere to sphere. And when completed, it begins. Throughout the music of the sphere, with Arcturus, Polaris, and through those to the outer space. The entity passes from Earth through Arcturus, from Septimus, as we see, and as such development reaches that plane, the development may pass into other spheres and other systems, of which our solar system is only a very small part. In this, then, is meant the entity must develop in that sphere until it has reached that stage wherein it may manifest through the spiritual planes, as we would be called from the relation to the physical and fleshy plane. I think it was a little long-winded, but I think what he was talking about there, again, he's answered the question multiple times about choices, and there is still a resistance, according to this and according to this vision. There's this resistance, there's this urge even to still want to come back and be physically human and work on things. It seems to be that, I don't know if you get like a lot of points karmically for coming back and being human again because it's rough. I'm just saying that sort of half jokingly, but it almost kind of has that feel to it. So you go, I'll go work on this again, and then I'll be ready and better advanced later, and then I'll go to the higher spiritual spheres, as he's calling them, places of development.
That's why we have soulmates that we connect with and reconnect with again and again until we get it right.
Right. And he mentions Arcturus many times, and this one I would like, it's a little paragraph here. He considers Arcturus and the Arcturians to be the most developed entities, beings, that I'm not sure if he's saying they're the most developed out there, and I don't think he is. I think he's saying they're the most developed that he had encountered, and that there's probably something even far more vast and amazing than them. But as far as ones that we have a regular kind of relationship with, he considers them to be the most advanced of the extraterrestrials, if you will, or multi-dimensionals, or whatever terms you're comfortable with.
They are better than the Orions or the Pleiadians, right? Because the Orions, we've had pyramid configurations laid out on the planet, on Earth, to match the belt in Orion's belt. So he must have a better connection to his people, the Arcturians, than the Pleiadians or the Orions.
And the Pleiadians are considered very peaceful and highly developed. The Arcturians, however, have evolved to the point of literally being light beings. It had been said that they had a physical body. Some people said they had blue skin. Highly developed, super highly developed. Other mental abilities, psychic abilities, all those things, and had evolved.
What challenges me is that when And I've worked with people who were dying and have passed away and crossed, passed away in my presence, and that they pass from being connected to their flesh to just being entities of light. So, when we die, that we take flight and turn to light, to, just to be whoever it is or whatever we are, as we transition from having the anchor with the flesh to just being out and about spiritually, whether we're an orb or a ghost or whatever. So for those people to ascend to light, or to be light beings, how can we use that, like us, with the flesh and the bones, right, and the blood and the genitals, the female genitals, the male genitals? It's almost like we're a low-frequency entity that can only aspire to be closer to the light. What do you think about that?
And I think what has been said about the Arcturians is they went beyond needing a physical body incarnation. Like, they're just, I guess, full-time light beings now. Whereas we still need it for whatever reason in our development. That's what I think of that.
Okay.
Like, for whatever reason in our progression, in our ascension, hopefully ascension. And here's an interesting paragraph on Arcturus. In the entity's dwellings in the hills and plains of Persia, also in Egypt, the beauties and music of the spheres, he talks about the spheres a lot, saying, and brought into the experience of the entity its studies of the light of day, the joy of the voices of the night, and the star that led the entity, that source from which and to which it may gain much of its strength in the present.
And okay, again, so voices,
the source of this beautiful light, the second.
Hold on. Voices in the night, of the night.
Voices of the night and the star that led the entity.
So we, many of us, and I know that you would agree with me on this, that you know that when you hear the chatter happening right before you fall asleep, that you know that sleep is very near. And I think that's what
and I hear it. The that kind of stuff going on as I go off to sleep.
I think that's what he's talking about.
Could be, because he's using it with metaphors. And in the second half of that same paragraph, he says the source, basically being the strength in the present, is Arcturus, the wonderful, Arcturus, the beautiful, the bright and the glorious light from same set afire. As it were, its meditations in the plains, so may the illuminations do the same in the lives of those that the entity contacts in its gentleness and kindness and service. So it's talking about the humbleness, I think, in recognizing that that source is something we're all connected to, and that everyone you contact, you can have a great effect on through showing them whatever, however, the strength of that particular connection to the source. Because people, I think they know when someone, you're around someone that seems beyond the petty and beyond the fray. And some people don't like it, I think. I think some people, like at work, may react funny to it. If someone is leaning in a more enlightened direction, hey, you're supposed to be down here and being petty with us. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm above anything, folks. I'm a pretty simple guy, but I'm just making a point that some people don't contemplate these things. But when Edgar Cayce mentions Arcturus, and in a sense the Arcturians, he's considered the father of the Arcturians for his mentioning in his visions, that he's mentioning a place that is a transitional place in some ways also a real physical place in the universe where beings live and they're highly advanced and they're beings of light. And there's sort of a mix match between that. Are they? Is it another dimension? Is it actually in the universe? Some people say, well, yes, and it is a place you can point to. And it once had a couple planets, and now it's, you know, it's there's a little bit of controversy there. But you're talking about things in trance, just like Darren was talking about John Dee and Edward Kelly, those that claimed to speak to angels in a trance. They were medium. You know, Edward Kelly was a medium, and they brought us the angelic language, which you can look it up. It's the 22 symbols of the angelic language.
Plug Darren real quick.
Yeah, Darren, his show is on at 5:30 p.m. on Sunday evenings here on the Main Street Universe Network. He's a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. He's been on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and he's been on some other cable shows doing his thing. He does tarot and palm readings. He did a reading for Ashley Green on, I forget, it was some documentary on the History Channel or somewhere, the girl from the Twilight movies. So he's been, it's because of the shop, you know, he works at, he sometimes gets some interesting clientele that comes on there, and he occasionally finds himself on camera doing a reading. So check him out Sunday evenings here on Main Street Universe. His show is called Spiritual Insight, and he's a great reader. Call in and get a reading from him. He's really got a great style, and he does surprisingly long readings for a radio show. Sometimes they're quick and have time limits, and that's good too. I usually prefer shorter ones. But yeah,
right.
Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m. So we were talking about Edgar Cayce and his connection to the Arcturians. And we were also talking about other things with Edgar Cayce earlier. We've drifted on to the out in the cosmos thing, and people that are into the starseed mythos that pay attention to the Pleiadians and the Andromedans and the Draconians and the Arcturians consider Edgar Cayce to sort of be the father of this. And he mentions it as a highly enlightened transition place, Arcturus, the place, that is, where you have a choice. You can go on, if you're developed enough, you can go on in other spiritual realms. You can come back to Earth. You can go to other planets that are something a little bit like Earth. And so he was a devout Christian, but he mentioned a lot of things that sort of dig into metaphysical New Age practices, you might say, for lack of a better word. And Edgar used to do his practice very simply. He just sort of would lay down on the couch, go into a mild trance, and a lot of times people would come up to him for medical advice. And then sometimes it would go into something deeply esoteric and, you know, biblical or intergalactic and all sorts of things. And one of the things I found interesting is that Edgar, after he died and everything else right here in Virginia, we do have a group here, and it's the Edgar Cayce Institute, or it's actually called the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And I encourage anybody to look it up. You can find out all kinds of information about Edgar Cayce. I think he was one of the most interesting recorded, and he was one of the most recorded prophets that had ever lived. And they said after his readings, he would be oftentimes very drained. I think his son even said he thought it was what maybe, you know, led him to his grave a bit early. Hello, Sunrise Dawn. I see you there in the chat room. Just wanted to say hi to the folks in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. And Edgar Cayce does mention the Pleiades as well. He goes into things discussing Christ consciousness. He discusses Egypt and ancient Egypt. He mentions visions where he's in ancient Persia. He gives advice for things like automatic writing, numerology, gems and stones, And in fact, I'll get into that one just a little bit. Vibration of numbers. Here's one of his answers. Vibration of numbers, of metal, of stones. These are merely to become the necessary influence to make thee in attune one with the creative forces. And so he goes into some other details discussing using stones for attuning to things. He goes into some health issues. There's one where he mentions that to eat anything that's yellow or orange, pineapples, mangoes, he just considered these to be good for you. And in this one, goes very specifically, I'm checking the time here. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. Here's a funny question somebody asked him. How many kinds of psychic phenomenon are known to mankind at present? So his answer, almost as many as there are individuals, each entity being a force or world within itself. Those of the unseen forces become then the knowledge of the individual, the power of expression, or of giving the knowledge obtained, being of an individual matter. So again, sometimes he talks about us as our own force, us as our own God, while at the same time talking about Jesus and God, but just then kind of he'll wrap it up sometimes and say, well, it's all kind of the same thing because we're all connected to the same thing. Here's an interesting question. What period in the world's history were psychic readings given? Here's the answer. It's a strange, very open question, I know. But here was the answer he gave. That, as given among the Chaldeans, was first used as the means of assistance to the physical bodies, not as applied in the present day usage of such force or phenomena, but as the natural means of expression of that unseen force of the soul and spirit, nearly 4,000 years before the Prince of Peace came. A very strange answer to a very open-ended question. What is the highest possible psychic realization? And here he gets very Christian again. So you see this back and forth from New Age, everything's one, oneness, you're the God within yourself. This one is that God the Father speaks directly to. What is the difference between psychic forces and occult forces? One is the study of the other, sense of the sources, and the other, the channels through which, of which, the study. That was kind of an interesting answer.
We have a caller.
Hello, 863, you're on the air.
Yeah. I just started listening to the show. I apologize. I don't know if I pushed the wrong button or not.
Oh, no, it's okay. So you weren't intending to be on the air?
Huh? No. I was just trying to
okay,
tune in.
Okay. All right, thanks for listening. Okay, the mic's off. Anyway, we have about 7 minutes left here, and I'll get into a couple more questions here, short ones with short answers. Again, someone asked another one, explain the difference between the occult and mystical forces. Occult, rather, is the answer he's answering here. Those that are of the ability of personal application, while the mysterious, the necessity of certain activities or feelings to be aroused before there may be expression. So I think what he's getting to a little bit here, or alluding to there, is there's a natural ability, then there's one that comes with practice, the personal application, while the mysterious, the necessity of certain activities or feelings to be aroused. Occult forces being the application of unseen or unfelt laws to the physical or material life. there's a pattern in the material for all things in the spiritual realm. So I think I know what he's getting this. The occult forces he's calling the ones where you use things of awareness in the physical world, whereas mystical is maybe more of the born-in natural connection with God, whereas occult might be, okay, you take this herb and it's like a hidden knowledge of the physical things. Because the word occult means hidden, as some people say. It means one of its etymological roots is, because people say, oh, the occult, that sounds like a terrible word. It basically means hidden, as in hidden knowledge. The hidden knowledge of almost anything, in the trees, in the stones, the gems, the elements, the wind, the water, yourself. So that was kind of an interesting explanation. And again, I encourage people, we've been talking about Edgar Cayce, and the website and place, there's a physical Edgar Cayce Institute in Virginia, but this is Edgar Cayce's ARE, Association for Research and Enlightenment, and it's www.edgarcayce.org, so pretty easy, it's his name, .org, Edgar, EDGARCAYCE.org. And as I said, Edgar used to talk about a variety of things, whether it was diagnosing health problems, whether it was intergalactic, whether it was deeply religious, or going back and visiting the Egyptians, and all sorts of things. But we're kind of coming down to it, Kevin. I want to thank you for joining us this evening. And Kevin Baird can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. Kevin is a medium himself, as well as an artist. I have some of his art hanging right on the wall. It's called Frozen Smoke, and he's the creator of the Horizon Oracle, a set of oracle cards that he created that you too can have, and they've become my primary deck that I do readings from. I still read from the traditional tarot as well, but my primary cards have become the Horizon Oracle, so check out Kevin at www.templeofgaia.com. Thank you for joining us, Kev.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, everyone. And again, I encourage you, if you're interested in the prophet Edgar Cayce, sort of a more modern-day prophet, closer to our times than Nostradamus or some of the others that came before that. And it's www.edgarcayce.org for the Association Research and Enlightenment. I want to thank everyone in the chat room and who will be listening in the magical time machine that is the archive. Listen, you've been listening to Main Street Universe, the network and show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.